Howdy, folks, and welcome to Moose Podcast number 471. Facts do matter. Well, episode 470, I heard from a bunch of you folks. That's because you couldn't hear me. Yep, I'm afraid I owe an apology. It was all on me. The whole reason for you're not hearing me is on me. I can't blame it on anything else. I was in this gorgeous spot in New Mexico, elevation 7,000 feet, surrounded by elk, and they were busy bugling. And I thought, hey, it'd be kind of fun to go out. So I was literally outside and record the podcast with the hopes that you would hear the ambiance of the elk being elk, because it was really quite something. So I did look at the meter, and I was watching the meter like I am now. I probably will never be able to do this without watching the meter like a hawk. And I could see that it was recording. And it was recording just fine until about the 8-minute mark. I wasn't watching the meter. I was watching the antics of the elk and talking into the mic. And the internet connection weakened to the point where the AI could not hear me. And then it said, is anybody there? And all you got was, which of course really isn't even entertaining, let alone does it help you. So lesson learned, never record a podcast where I can't watch the meter the entire time to see it's recording. So apologies. This episode, like the last one, and for quite a few of them, is being recorded by Adobe Podcast Beta. Yeah, I'm working. It uses AI voice to clean up my dialogue so it sounds crisp and clear. It can't make up stuff like it does when it comes to visuals. So it didn't know what I was saying, but it did record what it could hear. You can listen to the podcast many locations. You can go to the blog post on the website that has the podcast, any links, photograph that I might have been talking about in the episode. You also go to places like Amazon and YouTube and iTunes and, of course, Spotify. I gotta admit, a little bit disappointed that I didn't hear from more of you folks via Spotify that you couldn't hear me. So I was, in a very, very weird way, very, point blank, quite enamored by the fact that so many people reached out to tell me they couldn't hear me. So that means there's people listening. But Spotify has a place where we can have conversations. So transcript, conversations, podcasts, Spotify. So coming up quickly, I'm feverishly working on my two presentations that will be at the end of the month at the Mid-Atlantic Photo Conference there in Virginia. I've heard from a number of you, and I thank you so much, that you're going to be there. I appreciate having friends in the audience. You know, that smiley face makes a difference when you're up there looking at a 500 or 600 people. So I appreciate you coming by. I'm also doing their version of a portfolio review. I believe you can go to their website and sign up. Kind of kind. I can help you out, maybe. Come on by. Love to talk to you. Hopefully you can come and share images. One thing, my good friend at Bedford's, bedfords.com, they are busy. They are incredibly busy. They did have that ZR reveal at the store. It can now I think about it, I'm not sure which store had it. Maybe they had all the stores. So the Nikon folks were there with the new ZR body. But I've heard and seen a bunch of you, like myself, have acquired the new Z24-70 F2 version 2, which the more I use that lens, the more enamored I am, and totally happy with the fact that I got rid of my old one and got the new one. It's definitely worth the money. But, you know, you could find that information out. You could try it out. You can get feedback, even trade in your old one at Bedford's. They got 7 stores. You can walk in personally. You can do it with a phone call. You can do it via the web. They're there to help you any way that you choose to come and get help. They're great folks. I love talking with them. That's the folks at Bedford Camera, bedfords.com. Thanks ever so much for sponsoring the Moose Podcast, which, according to the meter, is still being recorded. Now I'm going to be jinxed. I mean, I went, how many, 469 episodes without a glitch like that? Now I'm paranoid it's going to happen again. So back in the day, and I'm talking film days, if you wanted to get a photograph of a full moon over a city or a landscape, had to deal with the fact that the exposure range was so great that getting it, the landscape and the moon, in one click was really challenging. There was a short period of time where you could do that with light levels, and then you were just simply out of luck. So what we did back then was we would get a roll of film, and this is, it was really kind of painful until you actually saw the picture and it worked. You'd photograph the moon in whatever phase that you wanted, half, full, quarter, eclipse, whatever, and you would expose a whole roll of film with that moon, and then you'd rewind that film carefully, and then you would go out. And if you were going to put it over the cityscape, put it over landscape, whatever, you would take that roll of film and you would shoot again that landscape, cityscape. And then you'd have in one click, at least one frame of film, the moon and the landscape. It was a kind of elaborate way of doing double exposure and having some creative control. But you had to have notes. You had to make sure you had that roll of film with you. You had to worry about reciprocity. So then you kind of worried about the fact that the moon had been exposed and the film was slowly ticking away. So you want to, it was really a challenge. But when somebody looked at the photograph, they did not understand all the hoops you might have gone through. They would just take it for granted and think what they're seeing is what you shot. Facts do matter, though. It was a double exposure. Photograph of the supermoon with a jet in front of it. Double exposure. The image leads you on to believe that it was one. The reality is it's two. Photography is, you know, it's kind of this incredible medium. And AI is not what I'm going to talk about this week. That's not what matters. It is you. You are what matter. And the fact that facts do matter are really emphasized and sometimes inflated when you're a photographer. And those facts that matter, some of them are, in a way, carved in stone. It's not like I made them up or somebody made them up. It's just the way the physics happens to work. For example, what I call basic daylight, some folks call it also the sunny 16 rule, and it's what the basic daylight exposure or the sunny 16 rule, they're two names for the same thing, are very simple. They're just a method of getting the correct camera exposure on a bright sunny day when you don't have a light meter. Now, digital film, 2.25, 35 millimeter, Nikon, Sony, Canon, it doesn't matter. The sunny 16 rule, for all intents and purposes, is carved in stone. It's the physics and way things work. And back in the day of film, we relied on it. You would go out and you'd look and you'd say, okay, it's a bright, sunny day. boom, basic 16 or basic daylight, boom, you've got the exposure. And what's the formula? Well, you first set the aperture at f16. No, you don't. It starts off with f16. Then you take your ASA back in the days of film, or ISO in the days of digital, and you would find the reciprocal of that, and that would be your shutter speed. So for easy math, it would take ISO 100. You'd set it with a shutter speed of 1/100th at f16, and that's going to give you basically a correct exposure for a bright, sunny day. Now, let's say you have a hazy day, you know? You've got little bit of distinct shadows, maybe. Then you'd go at the same shutter speed as basic daylight, but just open it up to 11. Well, you have a cloudy day, no distinct shadows, 5.6. Heavy overcast, f4. So it'd still be 1/100th of a second, but based on the light, you'd change your aperture. Or, for example, let's just say that you're shooting at 100, okay, ISO, which means you're shooting at 1/100th of a second f-stop or shutter speed, f-stop f16. And let's say, for example, you think f16 is too much depth of focus. You want f8. Then you would change your shutter speed to 1/400th. At f8, and that exposure value for a bright sunny day is the exact same exposure value as 100 at f16. This is basic daylight. These are facts that matter. These are facts that you can base what you're doing as a photographer, and you can move forward. It's so important to understand some of these basics. So you're out there photographing that supermoon, which kind of started this whole conversation. And I'm out there photographing, and I'm looking for that moment. And all of a sudden, wham, there's that moment. I can get the moon and the landscape, one click, information. And then it starts changing. As it gets darker across the landscape, the moon gets brighter. A full moon is the exact same as basic daylight. It's reflecting the sun. You've got that full white up there, and it's the same exposure value as the sun on a bright, sunny day, 100 f16. Now, just think for a second. If you are out shooting, okay, you're out shooting, and it's dark out. You see lights come on. You see headlights on cars. Would you think that you could take a shot at ISO 100, 1/100th of a second, f16, and have a properly exposed photograph? Or wouldn't you say, f16, I should be at f2.8? So f2.8, how many stops away from f16 is 2.8? Now, keep in mind that you are more than welcome to use your fingers. If that helps you out, do so. Because you're talking about F16, 100, basic daylight, that's the moon. But then we go to 2.8, you've got 1, 2, 3, 4, at least 5 stops difference. You overexpose anything that's bright by 5 stops, what do you have? You've got paper white, you got 247, you've got no information. So thinking about just some facts that really matter. Basically, daylight's one of them. How about truth in your imagery? How do you want to bring across that story? Because it's important to understand it is your story. It's for you to decide what is relevant, what is not relevant. What should be eliminated? What should be included? What should be sharp? What should be out of focus? And those are facts. Those are facts that you use inside your viewfinder to tell that story. I mean, here's another fact that really matters. I can't emphasize how important this is. We talked about this before. It's the simplicity of knowing your camera gear. So I've got that new Z24-70 2.8 version 2. Love that lens. Watching a video by my good friend Saku up there in Canada, and he starts talking about the one ring on the camera, or on the lens, I'm sorry, that is, it's got click stops. And I'm going, oh yeah, it does. And I went to my ring and I spun it. There's no click stops. And I'm like, okay, I know it has it. Don't see any setting in the camera. How do you get click stops? I didn't really stop, take time to look at the book. But I'm up there with my friend shooting, and there's two other people there who've got the lens. And I asked point blank, hey, do you know how to do click stops? Greg went over and goes, yeah, it's that switch in the lens barrel. And I'm like, duh, you got to know your camera gear, Moose. Everybody needs to know the camera gear. And when you're out there shooting and things aren't working, camera settings is not the place to go. Just simply knowing your camera gear. You should know that. If you are out and something doesn't work and you say, I wonder if this setting, and you go and do it and things don't work, your natural tendency is not to go back to the setting you just turned, for example, on. Go back and turn it off, then move to the next step. No, you leave it on, causing even more problems. And then the shooting gets worse, and all of a sudden, you don't have any shot. So it is a fact that if you want to be successful at that camera, you've got to know your gear before you go out. We're talking about simple things. You got a long lens with a tripod collar. If you're going to hand hold, rotate that collar to the top. So you've got that whole lens barrel in your hand so you can get a sharper image. It's a fact that if you're going to put that same long lens on a tripod, you mount the tripod collar for the long lens on the tripod, not the camera body. Because in both those instances, not doing what really is what they designed at the factory to be done, what common sense dictates and what physics demands, you possibly won't get a tack sharp image. These are facts that matter. And in this day and age right now, where so many facts are getting blurred, if not obliterated, I'm really suggesting and hoping that you'll start with your own wheelhouse of photography and think it through, because I'm here to tell you, facts do matter. Thanks for sticking with me through last week's technical issues. I appreciate you guys reaching out and all the love and TLC. Trust you have another great week coming up out there in that fall color. Get out there and shoot and make every click your story.